Welcome to my favorite podcast with Noah Marger.
Could I ever forget? It's the first time, the last time we ever met. But I know the reason why you keep the silence up. No, you don't fool me. But the hurt doesn't show. The pain still grows. And it's no stranger to you and me. Boom, 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 boom. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Boom, 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 boom. And I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. That sucked. Fucking sucks. Really stupid. That was In the Air Tonight, of course, by Phil Collins. It's a good song. It's a good song. Do you agree?
It's a classic.
It's a classic. I think possibly would not be such a classic in nowadays if not for Mike Tyson.
That's true.
Would you agree?
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. He, weirdly enough, is responsible for making that song a remodern classic with the youth of today.
From The Hangover?
From The Hangover, absolutely. Yeah, saw that movie when I was probably way too young to have seen it. I think that was like one of the first movies I was able to get my dad to take me to that I probably shouldn't have seen.
My mom edited that movie.
No way, come on.
I'm serious.
Dude, you can't say that to me right now. Are you fucking with me?
I'm not fucking with you. Dude. You can pull up the IMDb credit right now.
All right. Okay, hold on.
A quick plug to my mom.
This is really stressful for me to hear that right now. Okay, and can we dox your mom on pod?
Yeah, we can dox my mom.
Okay, what am I looking up?
Deborah Neal Fisher.
Deborah with an H?
Mm-mm.
Deborah Neal, N-E-I-L?
Yeah, hyphen Fisher.
Holy shit. Dude, are you fucking kidding me? No,
that's my mom.
Holy fuck. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh my God, she edited part three too,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, all of them.
Does she work with Todd Phillips like on the regular?
No, not on the regular.
Damn.
He was kind of a
POS.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Yeah.
Is he, so she didn't get to stick around for Joker then?
No.
Did she get to see any special screenings of Joker beforehand?
No, their relationship ended before that.
Fuck. It seemed like it ended specifically in 2013 with The Hangover Part 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you met him?
Yeah, actually, I met him once.
What's his deal? Was he nice to you or was he an asshole?
I mean, he was just like kind of reserved and quiet, but he was polite.
He was fine?
Yeah.
Did you meet him in like a professional sense, or did you meet him like, where is he like over?
It was
like
when my mom was working on, I think, Hangover 2.
Okay.
I went on the set for Hangover 2.
This is legitimate. Like, this is, I can't believe what's happening. This makes me feel like I'm giving birth right now. Is what this feels like. This is so insane. I'm sorry to interrupt. No, no, so you walked on the set of Hangover 2.
Yeah, I walked on the set of Hangover 2. I met Zach Galifianakis, Bradley Cooper, Ed
Damn.
Helms. And then was Liam Neeson the guy giving a tattoo in that scene?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Is that the one where they go to Thailand?
Yeah, it's the one where they go to Thailand. And then
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was like more so in set mode. So yeah, definitely professional setting.
Sure.
Yeah. So I mean, I just kind of like shook his hand. That was pretty much it. And then I met the monkey, which was really cool.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Were you starstruck when you met the monkey?
Yeah, that was the I love the monkey the most out of it.
So you got to meet arguably
yeah.
the most powerful actor in yeah. Hollywood in Bradley yeah. Cooper.
And you liked the monkey more.
Yeah, Crystal the monkey was the star of the show.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I've never like actually been on a set where animals have like been involved in a major way. Mm-hmm. But I hear that when animals come out on set,
yeah,
it's like everyone shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like the star has arrived. Was that the
was
mood?
Definitely the vibe of the set.
Jesus, man. That monkey does not know how good it has it. Probably the like most luxurious monkey in the world, I would have to imagine.
Definitely.
Dude, I legitimately feel like I just like gave birth hearing that your mom.
I love how I introduced, like, this is the intro of the show, and then.
Yeah, nobody just, knows who you are. Nobody even knows your name. It's fucking crazy, and I'm not gonna say your name now either. You're just gonna be the guy whose mom edited The Hangover, and she edited Due Date.
Yeah,
baby mama, mm-hmm. Damn,
mm-hmm.
Holy shit, dude!
Shout out to my mom.
Legitimately, shout out to your mom. I'm gonna throw up, dude. I'm going to fucking throw up. Can I ask a question that?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get insanely personal here, but
okay.
I noticed that. Earlier on in her IMDb,
yeah.
She's credited as Deborah Neal.
Yeah.
Was that before she met your dad?
Like way before Austin Powers?
Let's see. Oh, did she edit? Holy fuck, she edited Austin Powers?
She was pregnant with me when she edited
Austin Powers. Yeah, the last one it says is that she was credited on was in 94 for The War.
Yeah, she met my dad in 96.
Okay, yeah. That would make sense then. Yeah. Okay. And then she went by Deborah Neal Fisher. Yeah. Does your dad do film stuff?
Actually, maybe 95. No, my dad's a general contractor.
Oh, hell yeah.
They met on an airplane.
We should just end the show. We should end the show, period. Yeah. We shouldn't just end this episode. We should just end the show. Can't believe that. Welcome to My Favorite Podcast. This is the podcast about... Griffin's mom, who edits some of the most notorious comedies of the last 25 years. No, this is a show about people's favorite things. I'm Noah Marger, host of the show, whether you like it or not. Definitely not. I'm upgrading it from probably not to definitely not today. But thank you for being here. Again, if it's your first time here, leave while you still can. But, you know, stick around, actually. We got a good one. Something that I'm not very versed in, but my guest is. You've heard him already, so I'm just going to fucking introduce him. Stop fucking around. Stop fucking around. I have a lot more questions about what we just talked about, but let me introduce him once and for all. I'll give him a proper intro. My guest today is a sound designer known for Erebus, Carnivore, and Void. He actually told me in person, I would like to do this show at some point. So you know that when someone tells you in person they want to do your podcast, you have to bring them on the show. But little does he know, he was on my list anyway to bring him on the show at one point. So,
thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Please welcome Griffin Fisher. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Like I said, I feel insane.
Yeah, after that intro.
That's legendary shit. damn, dude. So were you just like in and out of like editing bays and stuff like growing up then?
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I love like film and making.
Sure.
In general, so, but, I did like editing a lot at the beginning, but, I kind of discovered the niche side of sound editing.
Sure.
So, and I really enjoyed it. So
does your mom do any of that stuff or she's strictly picture editing?
No, she's strictly picture. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. That's crazy when I never would have ever assumed that you had any like Hollywood like connection at all, you know, like growing up, you just are very humble, very, you know, nice, very just like talented, very just like hardworking guy from where I stand. And so usually I feel like if someone has any sort of in, it's just like throw the hat off like immediately and just sort of like ride whatever connection you can, you know, I feel like that's what I've observed and what is sort of the stereotype. So, huge compliment to you that I never would have guessed in a million years that your mom edited what for a while was my favorite movie of all time.
Really?
When when I first saw The Hangover, I'm like, that's the funniest movie I've ever seen. When I was like, how old was I when that came out? I was 11, I think.
Yeah, like 11 or 12. Yeah.
11 or 12.
Yeah.
And that legitimately was like the funniest movie I'd ever seen in my life when I had first seen it. I have not watched it in many years. Have no idea how it holds up now. as most comedies from that time do, they don't hold up, you know?
Oh, it definitely holds up.
Does it hold up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's fucking go. No bias, of course. Yeah, yeah. No bias.
You should watch it again.
I'm going to. After I fucking move, first thing I'm going to throw up on the TV in the new spot, invite by 80 people over into my 600-square-foot apartment and watch The Hangover.
Hell yeah.
Again, be like, have you guys seen The Hangover recently? You seen this shit? You also sold me something pre-pod.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of crazy. You had a little bit of trouble getting here today.
I did.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, yeah. We can talk about that.
Yeah. What happened?
So there was this party going on in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I live in a canyon with my parents right now. And there's no way out of the neighborhood. Like, there's like two exits of this neighborhood.
Right.
And there was this party going on. And the valet thought it was a good idea to park cars on both sides of the road so that only one car can get through at a time. And as soon as I was leaving, like, a row of cars start going up the street, so I have to stop. And then I made the stupid decision of going forward when there was a small gap.
Hell yeah.
And it created this massive traffic jam.
Yes.
And then the cops showed up.
Mad at you.
No, they weren't mad. They had no idea.
Arresting you and being like, dude, I have to go do my favorite podcast. Yeah,
multiple Karens running around, screaming at the top of their lungs.
Hell yeah.
Saying that they're going to sue these people. And
damn.
It was fucking insane.
That is insane, dude. That's canyon life for you, though.
Yeah, canyon life. LA.
Damn. LA shit.
Yeah. And then the cops, like, just made everyone back up, and then it was fine.
We are holding. I order you by law to back up.
Yeah, pretty much now. Yeah.
Damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
I remember I was coming home late from the. You ever been to the Los Feliz 3?
No, is it a theater?
It's a theater on Vermont and Russell in the Los Feliz area. Mm-hmm. You're from LA.
Yeah.
Do you say Los Feliz? Because technically, wouldn't it be Los Feliz? Like, isn't that how you're supposed to see that?
Yeah, everyone says Los Feliz.
Everyone says Los Feliz, so that's the white way to say it.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
So the incorrect but proper pronunciation is Los Feliz.
Yeah.
But the incorrect but correct pronunciation is Los Feliz.
Yeah.
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 I'm not crazy for thinking that for all these years.
No, you're not crazy.
Okay. Well, I am crazy, but not for thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm crazy. Yeah, I'm a little crazy. So anyway, I was at this theater and I was coming home late at night. It was like a 10 p.m. screening and the movie got out at like 12:15 or whatever. And not to dox where I live currently, but in order to get back, I had to get on the 5 freeway.
Yeah.
And the closest way to get on the 5 is to get on Riverside Drive. This is some really fucking LA shit that we're diving into right now. But the closest way to get on the 5 from where the theater is to get on Riverside Drive and then get on the 5 from there. Mm-hmm. There were 7 fire trucks.
Oh my God.
In front of an apartment complex. But there was no one like saying like don't come through, and there was like a tiny gap,
mm-hmm.
and it was so late and I was so tired that I was like, I think I can squeeze through here. So I just went for it, and I like drove like over a hose and like tried to like weave through, and I'm like, I definitely shouldn't be doing this. Like, there's no way in hell I should be like doing this right now.
Wait, you went over a fire hose?
Yeah, I went over a fire hose. That was probably should have been my first like indication to not go.
Was it like full of water?
I don't know. I mean, probably not after I drove over it, to be honest with you. Probably squirted, probably killed a bunch of people by doing that inadvertently.
Yeah, they're just like spraying the fire, and then all of a sudden you drive over and just whoosh.
Just absolutely, it's either a lot of water at once or backup, and it just like explodes on the fucking firefighters. But the guy got so pissed at me, fairly, he got pissed at me.
Yeah.
He like was on the back of the truck, and I just could see him mouthing, "Go the fuck back," like in slow motion, it felt like, because it was like 12:30 in the morning. And I just had to reverse out of like a ring of like 7 fire trucks at like 12:30 in the morning in Los Feliz. So had some adventures myself on the road recently.
I feel like that happens a lot in LA. So
growing up here, where you like in like traffic that just like blew your mind of like, it was surely have taken me 30 minutes to get somewhere and you spent like 2 hours in the car or whatever.
Yeah, I started driving as soon as I possibly could start driving.
Yeah.
Like at 16.
Yeah.
And so like the day I got my license, I drove by myself.
Yeah.
From like the 101 to the 405 to the valley.
Oh, you drove all over, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Cause I live in the West Side, or I grew up in the West Side.
Sure.
But I went to high school in the valley.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Damn, that must be a fuck of a commute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like 30 minutes to school every day.
Okay. Much.
Yeah.
Were you in like the Sherman Oaks area for
yeah.
the valley?
Yeah. It's or like it's right next to.
Or is it Studio City?
Yeah,
technically.
Studio City.
Yeah. I know. I used to live up there. I used to live in North Hollywood.
Oh yeah.
So I would like drive in through like that, like yeah. Sherman Oaks / Studio City / like. It's not really Valley Village because it's a little further west than mm-hmm. that, but like mm-hmm. some really good schools up there.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. hell yeah, my man. I think I know which school you went to, but I'm not gonna. Okay. Dox. I'm not gonna dox that on. I'm not gonna dox that on pod. But I'm gonna ask you afterward. Okay. But can I actually ask you Noe's question?
Yeah.
Thanks. Here we go.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, it's Noe's question.
That's so crazy. No one can actually see that, but I have programmed my recorder to just press a button and play the song.
Yeah, you got the setup here.
Yeah. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm unstoppable. I'm the most stoppable, unstoppable person in Los Angeles. But Griffin.
Yeah.
We're talking about Vaporwave today.
We are.
But before we actually dive into Vaporwave specifically, when you go to the mall.
The mall. Yes.
When you go to the mall.
Yeah.
What stores do you like to hit up? What's your mall routine? Did you ever go to the mall as a teenager and just dick around there with your friends?
Wait, did you ask this question on purpose? The mall?
Yeah.
Because of
Vaporwave.
Yeah, because yes. of
Vaporwave. Because it is so strongly associated with the mall.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I did. We would go to the mall and dick around. Like, now I don't really like the mall.
Sure.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's just like...
There's a sweet spot for the mall.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's like 13 to like
yeah.
15 at the oldest, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like before you can drive.
Like usually during the holiday season, I would go a lot because like I would go get gifts for my parents and stuff
sure.
like that. And then you just like dick around and go to the food court, you know.
Totally.
Just hang out at the mall.
What are your go-to either food court eats or just stores to dick around in?
I love the furniture stores and kitchen stores.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Like a Williams-Sonoma
yeah.
type thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love going through Williams-Sonoma.
What is it really? I'm a little surprised. What is it about Williams-Sonoma?
I don't know. I like interior design, too. So.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's pretty cool. Just like walking around, checking out the cool furniture and kitchen supplies. Oh, and then I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but Sur La Table. Or
I actually don't know. What is that?
It's like a...
that sounds like some bougie West Side shit right there, my man. You're digging your own hole over there.
Yeah,
every
I am.
Time. I've never heard of that,
It's a
though.
Kitchen store.
It's a kitchen store?
Yeah, they got like everything you could possibly need in a kitchen.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
I was literally... I'm not even exaggerating, literally, because I'm yeah. about to move.
Yeah.
And I gave up the couch that I had in storage when I moved in here, because obviously we don't need another fucking couch in this living room, mm-hmm. you know? But now I'm moving out.
Yeah.
And I need a couch.
Oh, you need a couch. I mean, I have a couch. Do you want a couch?
Do you actually have a couch?
I'm selling a couch, yeah. It's kind of like a futon if you want it.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Might be making some business deals yeah. off mic here. But I went to, just to see what like a high-end furniture would
yeah.
be,
yeah.
I went to Pottery Barn
oh, okay.
today.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't love it.
Oh, really?
I didn't love it because it gave off like... Houston housewife mom who's QAnon yeah. vibes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is kind of gross.
Some of them do give off that vibe, and yeah. then some of them don't. But
I was at the one in Pasadena.
Okay.
If you've been to that one before.
I mean, probably that specific store gives off the QAnon
yeah.
mom vibe.
Yeah. Just like mom who sits on her iPad all day
yeah.
being fed misinformation.
On Facebook, reading comments.
Reading yeah. comments. And she's yeah. like, I was actually doing a lot of research about the vaccine.
Yeah.
Doing shit like that. Yeah. Okay. So you're Williams-Sonoma, whatever the other store. What is it called? Sur La Table?
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know how to pronounce it.
That one.
I think it's French.
So we're going there.
Yeah.
What are we eating at the mall? What do we like to get at the food court?
Mm, I've always been a huge Chipotle guy.
Let's go.
Like I in at the beginning of college, like I would just get Chipotle every day.
Let's go.
But then like kind of gotten tired of it recently.
Okay.
I kind of mix up my order every once in a while. Like I usually get a bowl with chips and then dip the chips in the bowl.
Nice.
Just like good move.
Yeah, that's like a layered dip move,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, it's a really good move. And then sometimes I'll just get three hard shell tacos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never go in burrito mode?
I used to, like when I first went to Chipotle, I got the burrito. I'm not much of a burrito guy. I mean, I love breakfast burritos, but.
Okay.
Like,
so regular. You're a home state guy? You're in the home state?
No, what's that?
You would like home state a lot. When I was in my younger and more vulnerable days, when I was working on MGX stuff and when I was PAing for them, we used to shot a lot of stuff at the YouTube space or the former YouTube space, like by LMU.
Yeah.
And there was a restaurant there called Homestate, and they have them all across LA. There's actually one right down the street from where we are right now. And that's like their whole thing is like Mexican breakfast, like breakfast Mexican food.
Whoa.
So it's breakfast tacos, breakfast burritos.
Yeah.
Different little salsas, dips, and stuff. Pico de gallo. Yeah. It's pretty good. It's worth a shot. There's one by, I know this is not your side of town, but there's one right by where the Vista Theater is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ever over by the Vista Theater and checking that shit out.
Yeah, I'm actually on breakfast burrito TikTok right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What's going on breakfast burrito TikTok?
This guy just reviews breakfast burritos all across LA and then gives them a rating.
What is he like? Where's his head at right now?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of him.
What's the best breakfast burrito you've had?
By name, I couldn't tell you.
Damn, dude.
I mean, burrito in general, I guess Cali Tacos is probably the best burrito I've had.
Let's fucking go. Shout out Cali Tacos, dude. Hell yeah. The Cali sauce there is
That's
banging.
That's definitely the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I always get a burrito when I go to Chipotle.
Oh, okay.
I never mix it up. I'm always getting a burrito. I just tried their brisket actually the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried the brisket?
I usually get chicken. That's it.
Just chicken. Well, the brisket's new. That's why I tried it.
Oh.
Yeah, they just sort of put that in. That's why I tried it. Even my dad,
who
doesn't give a fuck about Chipotle, texted me and was like, "Did you know they just introduced brisket at Chipotle?" And I'm like, "No, I got to try that." And then I did. And it was all right. It was pretty good.
That's good.
But I usually just go chicken there too. So I'm usually right on your side.
Cool.
Thanks, man.
Does your dad pronounce Chipotle wrong?
No, he calls it Chipotle.
My dad does.
He calls it Chipotle?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So stupid. Sorry, Mr. Fisher, but you had to figure that one out. You've been living in LA too long to not pronounce Chipotle,
You going to Chipotle again? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe it's on you at a certain point to be like, Dad, it's Chipotle.
No, I've told him.
Oh, you've told him? Okay.
Yeah, many times.
Good. I used to go dick around at the mall. Like, 8th and 9th grade was, like, my sweet spot for dicking around at the mall. I had, like, a group of, like, 4 friends, including myself. One of us would get dropped off by one of their moms, and the other mom would come pick us up. You know, the classic situation. And we would just go into the Apple store.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Just fuck around at the Apple store.
Mm-hmm.
In our food court, our Washington Square Mall was the name of the main mall where I'm from. And they had these little like plastic ads that would just sit on all the food court tables. And it was a classic food court in that they had like 17 restaurants and like 14 of them only exist in that mall.
Oh, well.
You know what I mean? Like it's just like some weird like Panda Express knockoff, some weird like sandwich place that doesn't actually exist except for the mall. And then they had like a fucking Sbarro, you know, like a classic chain. I just remember we would steal the little plastic advertisements on the tables and then walk around with them. And then we would always feel really bad at the end. So we would ask, we'd have one of us go back and just put them all back up on the table. But the food court was upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And where we would get picked up was downstairs, usually on the other side of the mall.
Yeah.
So it would be like, fuck, your mom's coming in like 5 minutes. We got to put all these advertisements back before the mom gets here. So it was always a mad dash. It was really, it was just stupid. That's funny. Like so dumb. Kind of cool though.
I don't really remember any specific shenanigans that I did, but.
Damn.
Yeah. My friends would like fuck with people. In general. Or like we just cause a scene and then see how people would react to it.
Damn.
Like fake fights and shit like that.
You were doing some YouTube shit.
Yeah, pretty much. I wasn't involved in it, but
okay. I remember we had this one friend who we said that if he wanted to be in our group, he had to like go up to a group of girls and like ask them out, like as a group or something. And I just remember he like freaked out and like got really close to doing it and then like freaked out and like flailed his arms like I can't do it and like turned around and came back, which was just so much worse for him in the long run. Stupid guy. But he's in the army now, so so he's actually doing a really, really brave thing.
Yeah.
So he actually has a lot more balls than I thought he did it back in high school. All right, man. Let's not talk about the fucking mall anymore.
Well, I'm glad you asked about the mall, though, because I didn't really associate, like, being there. Like, obviously, I went to the mall before I discovered Vaporwave.
Yeah.
And then, like, once I started listening to it, and like the album specifically tried to make you feel like you're in an empty mall.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this is like way too accurate.
It's very, it's like a very like liminal feeling.
Yeah.
Like that feeling of liminality where it's like, mm-hmm. you're just like not really in a spot that is permanent. You know, it's like mm-hmm. that feeling of like floating and like temporality, you know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, I guess mainly the point of this genre is nostalgia.
Uh-oh. Do you think nostalgia is a good thing?
Yeah. No, definitely.
You do?
Yeah. I think it's a good thing.
Why do you think it's a good thing?
Well, I think longing on the past is not the best, and like regretting the past, obviously.
Right.
But like, I see it as more of like remembering fond memories, like that developed who you are.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. I had someone, actually the only other person who has done that's not true. One of the only people who has done an in-person record sitting right where you were
at
the very end of our episode, she talked about how she thinks that nostalgia is like a parasite.
Really?
Almost. Because David Byrne of Talking Heads, I guess, has this quote where he said like nostalgia is like the enemy of art mm-hmm. or something like that mm-hmm. because it like doesn't keep you moving forward.
Oh.
And I always thought that, and I actually used to be more in your camp for a long time where I'm like, I don't see what the big deal is. I think nostalgia is fine. You know, like whatever, like it's almost like, not to say that it's a tool, mm-hmm. but it's like, it can be used effectively, I feel like, or like whatever. But once I heard that quote, I just like ruminated on it and I started really thinking about it. And I'm like, fuck, I think he might be right. So I think I've recently changed my tune on nostalgia actually.
Oh, wow.
But I very, for a long, long time, did not understand the, like, hate for it.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
Because, I associate nostalgia specifically with, like, good feelings.
Sure.
So I guess, but why would it be bad if you, like...
I think in, like, the David Byrne sense, it's, like, if you're focusing, like, it, like, is, like, an untruthful idea of what your life or like what your past is, and you're like seeing things a very like specific way instead of seeing things how they truly are.
Okay.
You know, which I get actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that. But it was very like shocking when I had that revelation where I'm like, oh, maybe David Byrne's onto something here. maybe I've been thinking about this not wrong, but just in a different way my entire life. But I actually mostly agree with you in the sense of like, obviously it feels good. You know, it's it's like that instant dopamine thing.
Yeah.
But why did you pick Vaporwave to bring on this show specifically?
Well, I actually, so I'll get into a little bit of the backstory of how I found it.
Yeah.
So I wanted something to help me keep focus while I was like writing or like for school and studying in general. Reading books that are really boring. And I tried listening to like regular music that I liked, you know, like alternative music or stuff with vocals, right?
Right.
And just like the lyrics of the songs were so distracting to me. And I couldn't focus on anything I was doing. So I played this game a long time ago called Hyperlight Drifter. Have you heard of it?
No, actually. What's going on with that?
It's like an 8-bit indie game.
Okay.
And the soundtrack was made by this guy named Disaster Piece.
I think that name sounds a little more familiar.
He scored that horror movie called It Follows.
Yeah, that was him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know who that guy is. Yeah, for sure.
So he also scored this game, and he makes a lot of 8-bit retro music.
Nice.
But this soundtrack was like a mix of like orchestral and 8-bit together. So I put it on one day while I was writing and reading. And it was like, it helped me focus so much that I was like, this is crazy.
Really?
So, yeah.
Just like changed your whole like attention just like immediately?
Oh yeah, immediately. I could just like have this music on and then focus on what I was doing at the same time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Did it improve your grades and stuff too?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. How old were you when that happened?
I was a freshman in college.
Oh, freshman in college. Yeah. Okay, so this is like... you'd struggled through high school to like focus and shit. And then when you got to college and realized like, I have to like do this all shit myself, you know, and there's like no one holding my hand.
Exactly.
It's like, I got to fucking find a way to focus. And you found Disaster Piece. Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. So you find this guy and you start focusing a little bit better. And then how does that lead into getting into Vaporwave more specifically?
So this is like an electronic music genre. So I dove deeper into like electronic music, and then I was like, I liked his work a lot, so I found more artists. Like, I also played this other game called Hotline Miami.
If you've heard that one. That's got a great soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack. I mean, I use that more for, like, workout
playlists
and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's because it's more upbeat, like, 80s pop-ish, right. kind of electronic at the same time.
Sure.
So, like, I looked more into, like, other electronic artists. And then I found, like, this YouTube recommended video. I think it was, like, it's like the rabbit hole video I sent you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was, like, Essential Vaporwave albums. And I'm like...
Was it a it was a recommended video, yeah, just, like, through the algorithm?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I like looking through, like, YouTube for music recommendations. And
sure.
stuff like that. Like, I used to look through Anthony Fantano's stuff for music sometimes.
Were you a disciple of the Melon?
Yeah, I am a disciple of the Melon. Yes. Yeah, the Melon.
That's a whole, literally, that is an entire different podcast. Yeah. We could do an entire episode just about him.
Yeah.
I respect him a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
And I used to not like him at all,
mm-hmm.
but I actually have a lot of respect.
Mm-hmm.
for what he does, even if I don't regularly watch his shit.
Yeah.
I do think that he's a very interesting figure.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's also like one of the only people I feel like who's like been uncanceled.
Oh,
do you remember like when all that shit happened with his like second channel?
No.
This was like, I think this was either just after Trump got elected or like as the election was coming up.
Yeah.
He got like canceled, quote unquote. Because that he did you ever watch his second channel, That Is the Plan or something? I think it was called That Is the Plan.
Mm-mm.
He would do like meme reviews.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like meme shit.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's what the second channel was. And he like he got like a following that was more alt-right and more like neo-Nazi because of the associations of like Pepe and like all that stuff that was happening and transpiring around that time.
Yeah.
So people started to think that because all these people were attaching themselves onto that shit, that there must be something there that he was doing, you know?
Oh.
So he got, like, because of the association of the people who were, like, attaching themselves to the Pepe thing, they canceled Fantano, and then somehow he was like, that's bullshit, and, like, came back.
Yeah.
So I kind of respect that a little bit, that he was able to, like, fight through, like, some major BS in that regard and, like, come back.
Yeah.
But I also just respect the fact that he's, like, still fucking cranking him out and like working really hard and like created his own little mini industry for himself.
Well, we could talk about Pepe the Frog and a whole other podcast too.
Have you seen the that doc?
Yeah, Feels Good Man. I love that doc.
It was amazing.
It's fucking brilliant.
It is. Yeah. It's the I think it's the best political documentary of the Trump era.
Yeah, totally.
It's that movie fucking rocks.
I was actually gonna mention it as well.
Hell yeah, bro. Wait, in Vaporwave?
No. Just in this, what we're talking about right now.
I was going
to say, have you seen Feels Good, Man?
Dude, yeah. We should actually just pop that on right now and not finish this podcast. No, but okay. I'm sorry. I got us way off track. But Anthony Fantano, you're looking at YouTube recommendations.
Yeah. So this, like, for example, his channel, like, he would recommend music, right? And then I would just, like, the way I listen to music is I'll find an album, right?
Yeah.
And then I will listen to the album in its entirety. I won't do songs. Like, it's not how I listen to it. I don't listen to singles or anything like that.
You're listening to whole albums.
Whole albums at once just to, like, get the whole vision of what they wanted. So, like, I see this recommendation for, like, top Vaporwave albums, right? So I watch it, and then I add a couple to, like, my Apple Music. I use Apple Music, by the way.
Okay. All right, we're done. We're actually fucking done. Yeah, so thanks for coming on the show.
Don't hate me because I use Apple.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful and because I use Apple Music and because my mom the hangover. There's like three reasons to hate you
now. But the funny thing was, like, a lot of these albums that I was discovering. So the first one was Eco Jams by Daniel Lupitin or Chuck Person's Eco Jams.
Right.
Yeah, which we can talk about too. But, like, that album is nowhere on Spotify, Apple Music at all. It's only on YouTube. So I actually made a YouTube play. I started a YouTube playlist.
Okay.
With all the essential Vaporwave albums on it. So, like, that's how I usually listen to it.
Okay.
Because I'm on my computer anyways.
And
I just play it in the background.
Nice.
So, yeah, I created that playlist. And then I started with that album, actually.
That was your first dip into the water of everything?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I discovered the genre through those videos, and then, like, the first one was that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I'll start with this.
Sure. Well, it's technically considered like the first Vaporwave album, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, I got to tell you, Griffin, that was also the first Vaporwave album I ever heard, too.
Oh.
I had listened to that album before this pod.
Yeah.
A guy who is my friend, and he's a friend of the show, and he's been on the show before, Thomas Seredarian.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of his favorite albums of all time.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really know that it was technically considered Vaporwave before mm-hmm. I listened to it. I just know that it's Daniel Lopatin, mm-hmm. a.k.a. On a Trix Point Never,
mm-hmm.
who is like so unbelievably talented, like amazing. And I didn't know that before I until I figured that out. And then I was like, oh, I have to listen to Chuck Person's Echo Jams Volume 1. And it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah.
It's like so elegant,
mm-hmm.
which is something I don't really think about when I think about mm-hmm. Vaporwave or what I didn't think about before.
Yeah.
It's like really elegant. Is it elegaic? How is that?
I don't know.
Elegic? I don't know. It's elegant. It's a very elegant, very beautiful piece of work.
Yeah.
It's like amazing.
It's not my favorite now. I like Floral Shop better.
Okay.
That's why I chose that one.
Sure.
But like the beginning of that album is very euphoric and feel like it makes you feel good and
totally
right. But then like kind of towards the middle, later half, it does get a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It gets a little darker.
Yeah, which is part of the reason why I chose the Night Moves album.
Yeah.
Because of the intro, which we'll talk about.
Sure.
But when I first listened to it, I was like a little off put by that. And then
The Echo Jams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I I liked it a lot.
Sure.
So I dove deeper into the rabbit hole.
and then you never came out.
I never came out.
You don't really come out the other side of a rabbit hole, unfortunately. You pretty much just go deeper and deeper until you hit a bottom at some point. And then you're like, well, I guess it's time to find another hole to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this is still like a never ending hole too.
Sure.
Because like the end of the hole now is the newer music that's coming out.
So right.
You just keep an eye out for new albums that are coming out.
I want to come back to that idea later because there's a thing involved in Vaporwave specifically and I want to get your take on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But for anyone who maybe is already this far in the podcast and doesn't know what the fuck we're talking about, how would you describe Vaporwave to someone who's never heard it?
Like I said before, I think it's the feeling of nostalgia. Like that's what you try and capture with this genre.
Okay.
But okay. So like the technically it's like, this guy, Daniel Lupatin, took like 80s pop songs, slowed them down, and put a lot of reverb on them, and then added other elements to it to create this like euphoric feeling.
Right.
And so I think, that's probably the most accurate definition of
the genre. It's like a more euphoric, like Chopped and Screwed type of thing.
Yeah, a lot of vocal chops and lots of reverb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reverb is intense as fuck. Yeah. Blasting that out of a fucking people don't do this anymore. But I remember when I was like late elementary school, like early middle school, I always thought that like if you're a teenager, you had to have like a subwoofer in your trunk. Cause I just remember like seeing kids at the high school like have like these insane sound systems in their car.
Actually?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like it was crazy. Like, or at least like in and around where I was growing up, it was like you were like dope as fuck if you had like a subwoofer like in your trunk, or like you had like a stupid ass sound system like in your 1994 Dodge Stratus or whatever it is. And I was just like, oh, I guess that's like cool to do that. But I never like really thought it was cool. I was just like, I guess that's what people think is cool.
Yeah.
Is to do that. So imagine fucking blasting Chuck Person's Echo Jams out of one of those things.
Did you have a subwoofer?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not. I'm not cool.
You're cool.
Okay, thanks. What do you think people get wrong about Vaporwave? What do you think the misconceptions around it are? Because it is, in a general sense, to I think a lot of people, not a legitimate music genre. Mm-hmm. I think it's a meme to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, especially Floral Shop, that one song, Lisa Frank 420.
Yeah.
That song has, like, that's part of the first downfall of that genre.
Yeah.
Because people, like, made so much fun of it, and, like, the videos associated with it are, like, very, like, early CGI, like, renderings, like, computer renderings, and, like, people thought that was funny rather than like a cool feeling.
Sure.
So they kind of took that and then like made fake albums based off of that, those memes.
A fake album?
Like in the video I sent you, yeah, you talked about like the meme albums that came out of this.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Making fun of, or like the gay porn one.
Yeah. It's really insane. It's a really insane thing to have to point out. Remember the gay porn thing I sent you? That was what I'm talking about now. Yeah. It's going to come back later. That gay porn thing you just saw, it's going to come back later.
Which, I mean, like, I never thought of it as, like, a joke or anything like
sure.
that. Because, like, when I first, I didn't know anything about the memes or anything. Like, I discovered Chuck Person's Eco Jams first and was, like, actually, like, pleasantly surprised with the genre.
Right.
With the genre. And then, like, I didn't really dive too much into the meme realm of
sure.
it. Because, like, I was more appreciating of the genre itself.
Right.
But, yeah, the misconceptions are definitely the memes surrounding it. And, like, yeah.
Why do you think those arose? Like, that probably wouldn't happen with, like, an Ariana Grande song or whatever.
Well, I think it's probably because of the, like, people... Or the vocal chops and the using other sampling songs.
Sure.
For sure, like, there's definitely a frowned upon, like, Vaporwave is frowned upon because they use, like, popular 80s songs.
Right.
And, like, people think that, oh, not much effort went into this, and...
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, you could have actually made your own music first, and then...
Okay.
Instead of taking someone else's work and remaking it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I think that's where a lot of the, like, problems with the genre come up. Because people think that, oh, they're not putting any effort into making this music, you know?
Sure, it's like a, well, I could have done that.
Yeah, exactly.
Type thing.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's like, well, you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't do it.
You didn't. So. Someone else went out there and made Chuck Person's Eco Jams Volume 1 or made Floral Shop or made, what's the James Ferrero one called?
Oh, shit.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah,
either.
I don't remember either.
But that one, that one, which was like a darker tone
or
whatever.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to see what people think is easy in an artistic sense. Like, you hear it a lot with, like, quote-unquote modern art or whatever, or the Jackson Pollock shit, where it's like, well, my five-year-old could do Jackson Pollock shit, and it's like, probably not. You think that because the act of splattering paint does not require, like, genius-level, you know, effort or, like, you know, doesn't require, like, strenuous effort.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like everything that happens before the paint touches the fucking canvas.
Exactly.
And I feel like it's similar with Vaporwave, actually.
Yeah, very similar. Very similar.
Maybe this is a meme, but I think it's a little more than a meme. People talk about Vaporwave as being dead.
Yeah.
People talk about it as a dead genre. People talk about it as it had a really meteoric rise and a really meteoric fall.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, A, think that Vaporwave's dead?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you think that people talk about it as so?
I don't think it's dead.
Okay.
Like, there are a certain couple of channels on YouTube that post frequently, like, new albums that come out.
Right.
And there's, like, a decent following. Like each video gets, like, 4,000, 5,000 views.
Nice.
And, like, I see a lot, especially in, like, the videos covering the genre's history, like, people are like why can't we, like, unironically like this genre,
right?
You know, so I don't think it's dead.
Okay.
But I think definitely the meme aspect of it had a huge impact of why people think it's dead.
Sure.
Because, like, oh, this is a fake genre, and that got more popularity than the actual genre itself.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's like, if people are memeing on it and making fun of it, like, obviously it's going to turn you away from listening to it.
Right.
So I think that's probably why.
Yeah, got this, like, stigma to it. Do you think it was one of those things where it was, like, certain people listened to this and it became, like, a thing where it's, like, fucking, you know, like, 4chan bros or whatever, and, like, it had, like, this, like, people had pictures in their mind of, like, oh, like, if people who listen to Vaporwave look, sound, and act like this, you think it, like, kind of turned into one of those things?
Well, actually, I have a funny story about that.
Yeah, what's up?
Do you know who Rhett Hesoto is?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was hanging out with him and Hayden one day.
Yeah.
And, like, out of nowhere, he looks at me, and he goes, I feel like you listen to Vaporwave.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, Yeah, I do.
Damn.
Okay. I was like, wow. Like, you actually just called me out big time.
What did he? Did he say why he thought that, or is it just like he gets a feeling from
he
you?
He just got a feeling from me that I listened to it. And I was
damn.
Like, oh.
Fuck, man.
I even wore a shirt today that was like kind of.
What is it?
I don't know. It's just some shirt that has Japanese on it. So
hell yeah, like, dude! You got your you're going weeb mode
yeah,
on you right now.
Weeb mode on you.
Are you an anime guy?
No, not really. I mean, I've seen a couple. I see like I saw Samurai Champloo. Which
what is that? I don't know what that is. Samurai Champloo.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's an anime.
What is it? I don't even never even heard of that.
It's like two samurais like go on a journey together with
hell yeah
a girl, and then they like have to go find her grandfather. Oh no, they have to find her dad. I think yeah.
Where did you watch that?
I think Crunchyroll.
Okay, nice.
Yeah,
I've secretly been a fan of anime for a long time. But in high school, it was like, oh, of course I would never watch anime
yeah.
because I associated people
yeah.
in my head
oh, yeah.
who watch anime. And I'm like, well, I'm not like them,
yeah.
you know. But, dude, have you seen Neon Genesis Evangelion? Evangelion?
I started it, but I didn't
finish it. Griffin, you got to
okay,
finish.
I'll finish
it's,
it.
It's tough. It's a tough watch. It's okay. pretty brutal at times.
Yeah.
One of the best things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
Truly. And I don't even, like, I know that's, like, huge hype.
Yeah.
But I really loved it. And the movie End of Evangelion.
Okay.
I actually watched the entire series just to get to End of Evangelion.
Oh, shit.
Because I had heard such amazing things about the movie.
Wow.
Which is a reworking of the original series' ending, which yeah. I guess you can just do. Okay. In anime, you can just sort of retcon the entire right. ending
right.
of a series. It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, I'll finish it. It's on Netflix.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking amazing. What do you think the future of Vaporwave is, or how do you think it's changed since its recent inception to what it is now?
I think it's a lot of blending of genres. So as you probably found out in your research,
yeah.
there's a lot of subgenres in this
yes.
in Vaporwave. And like I think it's expanded more to just so being electronic music rather than
okay.
just, which is part of the reason why I chose the Night Moves album as well.
Sure.
So I think just the general connotation of this is electronic music, you know, I think that's where it's
okay.
going.
You think yeah. it's kind of...
Yeah, I think the vocal chops and like the reverb aspects of it are, that is a little bit dying.
Yeah.
Just the, like the original, how it started of like taking, the sampling is still there, but like I think taking like old songs and putting reverb and chopping the vocals is slowly dying.
Damn.
Which is kind of sad.
Do you prefer that?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily?
No. It's enjoyable, but I mean, I like one of the subgenres, future funk.
Yeah.
I really like that subgenre a lot.
How would you describe future funk to someone who isn't familiar?
It's more so like poppy and like Japanese 80s pop
sure.
related, like influenced. So they definitely use like those, but also like American pop as well.
Yeah.
So it's like definitely more of that like disco vibe.
Okay.
And, like, poppy, make you feel good.
Have you, what is it called? Is it called city pop?
Yeah, city pop. Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
It's similar.
ground control to Major Tom. We got an invader coming in. She's probably really upset that I'm not getting up and opening that door for her. Hello, Autumn.
Hey, Autumn.
No, it's okay. Oh, and we got Mike Nicholas. Let's go. What's up, everybody? Yo.
How's it going, dude?
Hell yeah. All right, we're just going to keep going.
Okay.
Do you know who Hiroshi Nagai is?
No, I don't.
He's a visual artist.
Okay.
I think you'd really like his visual art.
Yeah.
A lot. I actually ordered some prints from either like Redbubble or Etsy or whatever
yeah.
of his stuff that I was going to put up in my room, but now I'm moving, so I'm going to put them up in my new spot.
Okay.
They're very much city pop
yeah.
inspired.
Okay.
Like Hotline Miami, like,
oh, hell yeah.
like not quite as yeah. like 8-bit or like as 16-bit looking as
yeah.
that,
yeah.
but same general feel, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd really dig it.
I like this city pop artist called Henri. Do you
okay.
know who that is?
No.
It's like city pop for me is more like Japanese
okay.
pop.
Yeah.
She is like fantastic, like music. I mean, I love her music.
How do you, Henri?
Yeah, Henri. Okay. A-N-R-I. Yeah.
Henri.
Yeah.
Lots to discover in this little tiny like niche of electronic music that
this is like 80s Japanese.
Oh, this is like straight up 80s Japanese.
Yeah.
It's interesting how like I think your assertion is 100% right that like it's becoming less specific.
Yeah.
Vaporwave is, and it's becoming a little more homogenized.
Yeah.
With general electronic music, were you in general an electronic music guy?
Yeah,
prior to vaporwave.
So this is a funny story too.
Uh-oh.
So
I'm scared where this one's going.
When I was like, I want to say 4 or 5 years old, like my brother and I went to like a record shop with CDs and and I found this one album. I thought it looked cool. I was like a kid. You see like, oh, that looks cool.
Sure.
Some CD. And I had like a stereo, you know, one of the boom box in my room. And I put it in and it was like hard early 2000s EDM.
Really?
Yeah. And I loved it.
Like very like rave type shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like the beginning of that. I wish I had that still, but
do you remember the album cover all these years?
No, I've been looking for it for so long.
That's gonna be a boon your entire life.
Yeah.
You're gonna like be searching for that for your entire fucking life.
I will definitely be searching for that. And I called it marble music because I played with my marbles while I listened to
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right.
Honestly, sounds fucking awesome to just throw on a hard rave music
and play with marbles.
With fucking marbles. Holy shit. I wish I had known you back then. We would have fucking vibed. We would have vibed out, bro.
Play with marbles and listen to hard EDM.
And get stuck in the fucking canyon. All three of my favorite things.
Yeah.
It
was sick. It's definitely going to be something that I'm going to be looking for the rest of my life.
Were you like a Skrillex, like dubstep guy, like in like the early 2010s?
A little bit, yeah. Some of them were a little too harsh for me.
Sure.
But I definitely did dive into dubstep a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I kind of weaned off of it.
To me, dubstep is way harder to listen to than vaporwave.
Yeah.
It's definitely like way more alienating and like way more gross,
yeah,
I guess, at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like Dead Mouse.
Okay, sure.
But
I remember I had this friend in high school. Mm-hmm. I remember I'm in biology class, and I said, like, to another friend, this person's, like, two tables away from me.
Yeah.
I just said, yeah, I heard, like, that Skrillex song. I think they're pretty good. And from across the room, he stands up and goes, dude, it's one guy.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't kidding. He was like dead serious.
It's like the
Tame
Impala shit.
It is.
Yeah,
it's so stupid. I was just like, I don't care. Like, you think I'm listening to fucking Skrillex, bro? Like, you're the one who's like so upset that I said it, that they, more than one person, were good. Like, fuck off, bro.
Oh my God.
Same dude who I would like knew that it was Deadmau5 and not Deadmau5.
Yeah.
But I would go to him and be like, what's the new Deadmau5 music that's out right now? And he'd be like, it's Deadmau5, bro. And I'd be like, I'm sorry. I'll get it right next time. And then the next time it would just be Deadmau5.
Yeah. I used to say that too. I used to say Deadmau5.
But in like a real way or in like a joke way?
Both.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's actually good to say that. People actually think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I did want to cite this quote from an Esquire article that I was telling you about before we started. This is articles from August of 2016 called How Vaporwave Was Created, Then Destroyed by the Internet.
Yeah.
I want to get your thoughts.
Okay.
And then I want to do some fast facts and talk about the albums.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
To call a genre dead can mean two things. Mm-hmm. Either the genre has outlived its usefulness as a product on the market, i.e. a change in style, or that it no longer has any relevance to our lives. The first can be true because vaporwave was never economically successful. The second can't be true because vaporwave was never economically successful. The second can't be true because we're still haunted by the ghost utopias of a failed consumer paradise. Vaporwave continues to provide us with a necessary expression of our moment in American history, a wry take on our economic and cultural decline. When people call vaporwave dead, it might be more useful to think of the pronouncement as an appropriation of the language of marketing itself, of a planned or synthetic obsolescence employed before the act of, quote, selling out in order to protect the integrity of the genre. Vaporwave is dead because it's not a product in the way that hip-hop, pop, or country music had become. It was never for sale. So in a sense, it was always dead. Long live Vaporwave.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? What do you think about that analysis?
Yeah, that's a pretty good analysis. I think what stood out to me was definitely the economic thing and then like the utopian society.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was never economically successful.
Right.
Probably because of the sampling.
Sure. On a very literal level. Yeah.
Definitely the sampling. Because like that's why half of these albums aren't on Spotify or
right.
Apple Music or like streaming platforms because like they're going to get copyrighted.
Yeah. Immediately. DMCA'd or whatever.
Yeah. Like so this art form was like created from something else and without any permission from the original artist.
Right.
So that's definitely the economic value why it's not
right.
successful. And I like the take of the utopian society because like a lot of albums in Vaporwave, especially the band Luxury Elite.
You know, not familiar with them.
They have some really good tracks, but those are not samples. Those are all like they made their own music.
Sure.
But the feeling of those albums are like this high class society.
Yeah.
And make you want to feel like you're this part of this like luxury elite, essentially. Yeah. And that like vibe has a meaning towards society of like, oh, there are not everyone is like this.
Sure.
Like listening to it gives you that feeling.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like a commentary on like why our society hasn't created this euphoric utopian society.
A lot of what I was reading in terms of like the like mission statement of Vaporwave or a lot of like artists' intent or albums' intent in the Vaporwave world was like a critique on consumerism and a critique on like economic disparity and like late, if you want to call it late stage capitalism or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting. It's always very interesting to me how music without lyrics can like create that.
Yeah.
But I guess that like empty feeling or that sort of like, I don't know, like empty, but like with a purpose. Yeah. It's almost like what it is. Do you like have like a sense of like, or take on like the way that in which it critiques like capitalism or consumer culture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially this band Luxury Elite. Like it's definitely a commentary of like what could be in our society. I think that's mainly what the purpose of this, like this feeling, this creating this like high class society where everyone can be like feel like they're the top of the top.
Right.
So I definitely think the commentary is like saying that there's something wrong with our society.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It feels like it harkens you back to like the 80s and 90s, in which maybe that was a little bit more of a shared cultural thought that like if you work hard and if you do these things that you will be able to live the life that you want, you know, at least in an economic sense.
Yeah, yeah.
In, you know, it's 40 years later, 30 years later, I think anyone with half a brain knows that that's like extremely hard to like feasibly put together.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I think maybe that's like the escape value of Vaporwave.
Yeah.
Is it lets you sonically and activates that part of your brain where it's like, no, I make like $140,000 a year and I can live a comfortable existence in America.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very interesting.
Well, I also see it as like that 90s vibe of feeling like VHS era.
Totally.
I think it's like what could have been, like what our society could have been at this point now.
Oh, if we had stayed in that general direction.
Or like the vision of like, oh, these like high class society, like by the time we are now, like in the 90s, like saying, oh, by the time we get to 2020, we'll have this euphoric society.
What people in 1990 thought 2020 would look like.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I think there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
We could talk about this for a million and a half years, but you know what? I feel like we've fucking talked about these fast facts. So I'm making an executive decision.
All right.
We're getting rid of the fast facts, Griffin. Okay. Okay. We're jumping around. I think maybe the only one that I want to say is, let's do this. I'm going to read the last three.
Okay.
Because we've basically, I don't want to bore everyone with these, this, shit that we've already talked about. But
vaporwave. This is really interesting.
This is real shit. Okay.
This is real shit.
Vaporwave found a wider appeal over the middle of 2012, building an audience on sites like Last.fm, Reddit, and 4chan. On Tumblr, it became common for users to decorate their pages with vaporwave imagery. In September, Blank Banshee released his debut album, Blank Banshee Zero, which reflected a trend of vaporwave producers who were more influenced by trap music and less concerned with the conveying political undertones. Bandwagon called it, quote, a progressive record that, along with Floral Shop, signaled the end of the first wave of sample-heavy music, reconfigured what it means to make vaporwave music. After a flood of new vaporwave acts turned to Bandcamp for distribution, various online music publications as Tiny Mixtapes, Dummy Mag, and Sputnik Music began covering the movement. However, writers, fans, and artists struggled to differentiate between vaporwave, chillwave, hypnagogic pop, while Ash Bex of The Essential noted that larger sites like Pitchfork and Drowned in Sound seemingly refused to touch vaporwave throughout the genre's two-year peak. Common criticisms with the genre was too dumb or too intellectual. It's interesting how you can view it as both. That's fucking weird. As of 2016, vaporwave albums, including Floral Shop, continued to rank among the best-selling experimental albums on Bandcamp. The scene also maintained a dedicated following on communities such as Reddit. Price reported that those outside of those arenas, the genre was generally considered to be a big joke. He added that users of the various vaporwave subreddits will always take it very seriously for the most part, but even there are people are discussing whether or not vaporwave is still going strong. Despite their objections to the label, serious artists in the movement continue to be tagged as vaporwave. Last but not least, music educator Grafton Tanner wrote, quote, vaporwave is one artistic style that seeks to rearrange our relationship with electronic media by forcing us to recognize the unfamiliarity and ubiquitous technology. Vaporwave is the music of non-times and non-places because it is skeptical of what consumer culture has done to time and space. Commenting on the adoption of vaporwave and C-Punk-inspired rebrand by MTV International, Jordan Pearson of Motherboard, Vice's technology website, noted, the cynical impulse that animated vaporwave and its associated Tumblr-based aesthetics is co-opted and erased on both sides, where its source material originates and where it lives. A lot of people thinking a lot about vaporwave in these very serious ways. It's interesting how something that is, at its core, very simplistic almost, is being, I don't want to say dug into, but like really analyzed in like this very specific way. What do you think? Do you think that that's fair for some vaporwave? Do you think maybe it just exists as, you know, chill ass music, or do you think it's both?
I think it's both. Like, I like how that first quote you mentioned, Blank Banshee.
Yeah.
That band. I've listened to the discography of that band.
Okay.
One person. Who knows?
Yeah, that whole band, that whole Owl City experiment.
Yeah. I didn't really like it that much.
Sure.
It's definitely more trap. It definitely uses the vocal chops and techniques as well, but it's like, it's very trap. Like kind of mix. It's like that album specifically, the first one, kind of influenced like the electronic like hip hop
scene. Yeah, for sure.
Which is cool. And that's why like this genre, like the first albums, like or vaporwave in general, like created this like art form of people to use sampling.
Sure.
Like if you're familiar with funk music.
Yeah.
PH. O-N-K. Funk.
Okay, that I don't know.
Funk?
No, I don't know that. I thought you were talking about just like...
No, not funk.
The Parliament and stuff like that.
No. Like, funk is like hard sampling, like trap. Like,
okay.
It's like pretty upbeat. Like a lot
is it abrasive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of TikTok. A lot of songs are on TikTok now, actually.
Fuck. Yeah. Yeah. Really insane.
But yeah, like that hip hop scene and like mixing it with electronic music kind of arose through vaporwave as well.
It'll be interesting to see, because now we're what, like basically 10 years after like vaporwave has technically begun.
Yeah.
It's interesting, and I've talked about this before, but like Death Grips.
Oh, yeah.
A similar time frame of when that started.
Yeah.
Now they're like one of the most influential music acts of the last like 20 years.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll look back maybe in like 10 years, maybe in 5 years, maybe however long, maybe already. Mm-hmm. And we'll look back and say like, damn, Chuck Person's Echo Jams Volume 1, mm-hmm. Floral Shop, yeah. all these other little sprouting yeah. out things. I wonder if they're going to have the same reverb effect in other music genres. Because like every SoundCloud rapper sounds like Death Grips now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's interesting. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll what see. Do you think?
Like I said before, I think the sampling is kind of dying.
Yeah.
Or like the specifically the reverb vocal chops, that technique is yeah. not as present anymore. And it's mainly switched to like using original like score.
Sure.
Essentially. And making your own electronic music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see where we're at time-wise. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about some albums. We're good. First, one of the first of the three, Windows 96, 100 mm-hmm. Mornings from 2018. Yeah. Snap, snap, snap. We love that. Mm-hmm. Why'd you pick this album to bring?
So this is actually a good transition because that's this band, Windows 96, or person.
Yeah. Or this guy.
Or this
yeah.
guy. Is definitely like, they make their own music and it's like this like euphoric feeling of just like pure chill.
Sure. You
know, which is why I liked it so much. And it's like using one thing that's interesting about this album is like it uses a lot of synthesizers, but also like hard drum beats sure. as well. So it's like a mix of like this euphoric synth and then like rhythm beat as well.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I will be 100% honest with you.
Yeah.
It became difficult for me to differentiate sometimes
the songs
yeah. and between like obviously the three artists that we're talking about in the three albums like have their own sound.
Yeah.
But if you played a song blind for me
yeah.
and said,
yeah,
who is this?
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be able to tell you yeah. ultimately. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not an indictment on the artist. That's yeah. more of just that's just where I'm at with yeah. the genre and my familiarity with it.
Which I like this band a lot because the songs really blend together.
Yes.
That's why I like it, because it's like I said before, that's how I listen to music, is I listen right. to the full album. So it's like I see it as more of one art piece rather than
sure.
like individual songs.
So a little bit of a different question, but somewhat related.
Yeah.
Do you prefer music without lyrics to music with lyrics, or does it matter?
I think now maybe a little bit more not lyric.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still listen to music with lyrics, of course.
Absolutely.
But it's like, it allows you to like capture a feeling without having to listen to words.
Sure.
Describing that, you know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting yeah. because the more, I used to be a big just listen to songs guy.
Yeah.
And I've only of late, like the last like 2 years, mm-hmm. really started digging into albums. And I've noticed when people say like, I love the songwriting.
Yeah.
In an album.
Yeah.
It doesn't click with me right away.
Yeah.
The songwriting and the actual lyrics, because to me, it's like the lyrics, maybe this is insane.
Yeah.
The lyrics are just another sonic quality
mm-hmm.
of the overall song.
Yeah.
Like I'm not necessarily paying attention to the specific words that are being said unless yeah. it's like, you can't miss it. Unless
yeah.
it's like so obvious, like yeah. it's a country song or like mm-hmm. the lyrics are like the forefront, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if musically it's like there's a lot going on,
mm-hmm.
the lyrics just sort of become a sonic quality of the overall feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that ever happens like when you're listening to something? I'm just curious.
Sometimes. Like sometimes I do like albums. I can't really name any specific ones where they like use vocals as like to add to the atmospheric
yeah.
feeling of the album.
Yeah.
But I was going to mention, like, I like MF Doom a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But then I started listening to his instrumental versions of the, like,
oh.
of the albums.
Okay.
And it's, like, his beat making is amazing.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it gives, like, in MF Doom is probably one of the greatest lyricists to ever exist.
Absolutely.
So, like, when you're listening to his music with lyrics, you definitely focus on what he's saying.
Totally.
And the rhymes and like how he...
And how he performs
it. How he performs it. But then listening to just the instrumentals of it, it's like a whole other... It's literally like a whole other genre.
Have you listened to Donuts by J Dilla?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That album is fucking insane.
Yeah.
That is... If you hadn't heard it, I would be like, dude, you gotta listen to that on the ride home.
I've listened to it, yeah.
Are you a Dan Deacon guy?
Yeah, yeah, I like Dan Deacon.
We're talking about, actually, the early plug, haha. We're talking about Bromst on my other podcast this week. And that was the first time. We listened to Glissriffer like early on doing that other podcast, and I wasn't super into it. I just remember it feeling like very like light and very like, I don't want to say inconsequential, but just like didn't leave an impact on me at all. Mm-hmm. But Bromst, I was, spoiler alert, I might be a little more into it maybe than I was the year before. But let's not talk about that shit. Yeah. Let's focus on Windows 96.
Yeah.
What makes this essential vaporwave, or what makes this like an essential listening?
So I think the aspects of like the original album, Chuck Person's Eco Jams, has like a huge impact on this album.
Sure.
But without the vocals, so like there's still like a lot of reverb and euphoric feeling.
Yeah.
So that, like, that's why I would qualify to be in the vaporwave genre.
Absolutely.
But the title 100 Mornings too is like, it's like that feeling you when you first wake up.
Oh, totally.
And you're kind of just like getting like you're still groggy.
Yeah.
But like you're kind of getting the day started.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that, to be honest with you, when I was listening to it. That is a really good point. Mm-hmm. It's like that very much like everything feels new.
Yeah.
Everything feels fresh.
Yeah,
everything feels like it's just, it's kind of washing over you a little bit. You're not even really thinking like in a critical way. You're just sort of experiencing everything as it's like
it's
coming
like to you. It's like that state of mind that you're in right when you wake up and you like still are kind of unaware of your surroundings. I think that album captures that exact feeling.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's like a great, I don't want to say a sell on the album, but like if someone was like, why should I listen to this? You know, like what makes it so good?
Yeah.
That's a great descriptor. Yeah. So shout out you on that one.
Thanks.
Yeah, this is very like lighthearted, very just like floaty feeling, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to this one countless times.
When did you first encounter it? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was like, so after I listened to that like recommended video of like top vaporwave albums, like these channels started popping up of like of postings of that whole album. So I saw that image and I was like, oh, this looks cool.
Sure.
And I like the name Windows 96.
Right.
It's like instead of Windows 97, it's Windows 96. It's like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Right.
So I listened to it and I was like, oh, wow, that's actually like a really pleasant feeling.
You like it because you were thinking Windows 69 the entire time.
No, I wasn't. I was thinking of the operating system.
I was thinking Windows 69 the entire time. That's what I was thinking of. So, projecting there. Is there anything else worth mentioning about this one, or can we move on?
I definitely just recommend listening to their whole discography after this one.
Oh too, shit! So, yeah. so you're big on Windows 96.
Big on Windows 96. Yeah.
Okay.
And this album also works really well late at night when you're driving. A lot of this music is also
late night driving.
Late night driving is perfect for this album.
And in LA,
although
it can be obviously like traffic is like a pain in the ass, if you're driving on like I sometimes like will come up on the 2 like as the sun is setting and it's like just about like it's like almost like blue hour almost.
Yeah.
It's the best, dude.
Yeah.
Just fucking, do you know who Team Sleep is?
No.
I'll send you that album.
Okay.
You might like that. You also might hate it. I have no idea. It's kind of one of those. It's either you're into it or you're not.
Right.
Speaking of being into it or you're not,
wow.
Can we talk about Night Moves, Don't Ask?
Yes, we can.
2018. Why did you pick this one to bring on the show?
I picked it specifically for the intro.
Specifically for the intro?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I listened to it and I was under the influence of some...
some substances?
Some substances.
Okay. Hell yeah.
And
my man parties. We only bring partiers on this show. We only bring absolute fucking just rude dogs, just mad dogs on this show.
And so then, like, I put it on, and it created this overwhelming anxiety.
Yeah.
And, like, it was so uncomfortable to listen to that I couldn't stop listening to it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the second the first song starts, I was blown away, like
at just like the change
because it's like the transition is so smooth too from the first to second song, but it's like this really rigid, like terrible, like electronic sounds that are coming out of both sides of your ears and creates this like overwhelming anxiety of just like what is happening, like I don't know. And then it goes into this sick bass line. It's like there's actual rhythm and it's like kind of like like liberating.
Sure.
In a sense, you know.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because when I first listened to this,
yeah,
I think this was the second of the three that I listened to.
Because
I think I had listened to Windows 96 100 Mornings first.
Yeah.
Then listened to this, knowing more or less what I thought Vaporwave was supposed to sound like.
Oh, yeah.
And then listening to this, I was like, dude, this just sounds like EDM. Like, this just sounds like such straightforward EDM with moments of Vaporwave sprinkled in.
Yeah.
Is this what you think things are sort of progressing toward?
Yeah, that's why I chose this one, too.
Yeah.
Especially, like, after the first song, like, this song called Harbinger Group on the album.
Yeah.
That's my favorite song of it.
Sure.
Because it's, like, such a pleasant... It literally feels like you're floating in space, like, when you're listening to it. And it's, like, so, like, that... Just that one melody that repeats through that song. I mean, I can't really. I don't want to try and recreate.
You don't have to. Someone they're gonna know because you guys have to fucking listen to this track before
this
you
goddamn
listen.
Album. Right?
You have to fucking listen to this. Yeah. I think that was honestly. I think we might be able to pull it up on my Spotify. This one it literally is pulled up right now. Mm. Yeah. Tonopah Gothic, Harbinger Group, and The Work.
Yeah, The Work.
Or What I Gave My Little Hearts To on the album.
Yeah.
I wasn't as crazy about this one, like, on the whole, to be totally honest with you, but you're right. That, like, intro is, like, fucked up.
Yeah.
It's, like, really scary.
But it was obviously done on purpose.
Totally.
And then to, like, have such a drastic change in environment that you're in while listening to it, you know?
Sure.
Like, just totally... uncomfortable, nasty feeling to like you're literally floating in space.
Yeah, those like dynamics are pretty nuts.
Yeah, which is why I love this album so much.
Do you listen? Are you like big on his like overall discography?
Yeah, the other ones are really good too. They're not.
Is it similar?
They're more like singular toned albums. This one's the more dynamic one.
What is it? What are the other singular tones? Is it more vaporwavy or more just like general EDM, what we would think of?
Yeah, more general. I mean, I wouldn't qualify this as EDM.
What would you call it?
Electronic music.
Is EDM... Oh, I guess EDM is dance music. Huh?
Yeah.
That's what... I guess in my head, they're synonymous. But you're right. It is just electronic.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the day.
Like rhythmic synthesis, essentially. Yeah.
Rhythmic synthesis.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that? What do you mean by that?
Like... Using synthesizers.
Gotcha.
To make rhythms. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Rhythmic synthesis.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing right now. This album also doesn't have a ton of plays on Spotify either. This is
how many does it have?
I mean, the most listened to track, Harbinger Group.
Yeah.
57,000 plays.
Oh, whoa.
That's like not, that's like not a lot.
Yeah.
Especially for like, I don't know, like just like a genre that's like increasingly more popular, you know? So I was surprised. I was like, oh, this is like a really deep cut almost, it feels like. But this is definitely a darker, like more dynamic take, I feel like, on what Vaporwave can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I wasn't as big on it, but it is what it is.
One of their other albums, it looks like it's like a mix between a Nike logo and... like a cigarette.
Oh, Themes?
Yeah, Themes.
Yeah.
That one's really cool. I like that one a lot, too. It's like kind of the feeling of like after a party and you like smoke a cigarette, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know I know what that's like.
Yeah.
You know that I'm fucking doing that shit every single day of my life. Is there anything else worth noting about either Night Moves or Themes before we move on to sort of the grand finale here?
Fucking listen to the album.
Yes, bro. Speaking of just listening to the album, I'm kind of weird. Not to say this is the one that started at all, because it didn't, but this is probably the signature Vaporwave album.
Yeah, that definitely.
This is Macintosh Plus's Floral Shot from 2011.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious why you picked it, but why'd you pick this one?
Well, I picked this one over Chuck Person's Eco Jams just because like I like it better.
Okay.
And... it's heavily influenced by it. So, like, I forget what specific songs they use to sample.
I know it. One of them's a Diana Ross song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the Lisa Frank.
Lisa Frank 420.
Yeah. This is actually a female artist who made this album.
What's her, Veritalk?
I think so.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but Macintosh Plus,
yeah,
more or less.
Yeah. This one definitely, that song, Lisa Frank 420, is why the meme started. I don't know why, though. It's such a fucking good song, too. Like,
it's interesting why certain things end up getting memed.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this song is really good.
Yeah.
But the song can also, like, have been different and really good and not have been memed. It's just, like, that perfect intersection of, like, kind of silly, kind of, like, out of the ordinary, you know, and kind of, like, exceptional in that way, but also just, like, well done.
Yeah.
So it, like, works.
Yeah.
It's like if it was like slightly different, like 5 degrees in one other direction.
Yeah.
No one would give a fuck about it in the sense of like they wouldn't. It wouldn't be the most well-known vaporwave song of all time, you know?
That's true. I mean, can we play a little sample of it?
Can we? I guess we can.
Put your mic up to the computer.
My mic up to the fucking computer? All right, hold on. Hold on here.
Because people will definitely know this album or this song if you play like a little bit of it.
All right, here we go. We're going. Uh-oh. Nope. That's not what we want. Here we go.
Yeah.
First time I've ever just held the mic up to my computer on the podcast.
Yeah, but like if you've heard of this genre, you definitely know this song.
Or just never heard of this genre.
Oh, that's true. Or that.
Yeah, I mean, this song is just synonymous with, like, memes.
Yeah.
So if you just, like, have been on YouTube or Facebook or Tumblr or Twitter in the last 10 years, you've probably heard that song.
Yeah.
That's this song. That song's great.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another song, and I don't know what the fuck any of these songs are called, but I think it's either track 5 or track 7 that's got, like, a deeper voice.
Oh.
To it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know
what
I'm talking about?
I think so.
Or it's like, hold on. Might have to. All right. Okay. Here we go. I think it's this song. Whoops. It's not that one. All right. We're going this song. All right. Maybe it's not that one either. Whatever.
Yeah,
I do not know what the fuck I'm doing over here. But there is like one that's like, don't you worry about a thing.
Oh, yeah,
or something like
that.
It's like got like a crazy fucking like
chopping. Yeah, definitely the vocals are pitched way down too.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
It's, I like this the most.
You do?
This and Echo Jams Volume 1.
Yeah.
I would legitimately rather listen to this and Daniel Lopatin's Echo James Volume 1 than either of the other two.
Oh, really?
I like prefer the very pure, like what Vaporwave started as, personally.
Interesting.
What do you prefer? Do you just like it all?
I like it all, but I like the subgenre Future Funk uses a lot of vocals as well.
Okay.
And I kind of prefer that now more than how it started. Like, because it's more poppy and, like, it gives you more of a, you know, dance vibe.
What would you recommend someone start with for Future Funk? Sorry.
I'm going to have to pull that up.
Dude, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to absolutely fuck you, spit roast you. I know. Throw you to the fucking lions on that one.
There's this artist I like called Barb Wall. Oh, actually. Saint Pepsi.
Saint Pepsi.
Yeah, Saint Pepsi.
Okay.
That artist is really good. Or Barb Walters, this artist. I'll show you.
Showing me the Apple Music and not the Spotify.
Yeah, Barb Walters is really good. Or Saint Pepsi is really cool. One of the opening lines of the Saint Pepsi's album is like, "It's Saint Pepsi, bitch.
Let's go."
And then it gets into like super funky vibe.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
What do you think made Floral Shop pop off? Like, what do you think made it just explode and sort of explode Vaporwave into more of a mainstream thing?
Yeah. Well, I think the album cover probably has a huge impact on that.
Totally.
Because it's like this weird limbo space of like the early CGI and like the statue that's in it.
It's like a classical statue.
Yeah, it's a classical statue. So it's like a blending of genres. So, which is what I think the music is as well.
Sure. And a blending of time periods.
Yeah, blending of time periods, genres, like just a mesh of music and art all together, which was really well executed.
Totally.
And so then, like, some people were probably like, oh, this is a meme. This is a joke. This
right.
is trash. Like, anybody could do this. Or people are like, oh, this is a really cool art form.
Yeah, this is like really like well thought out.
Yeah.
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 It feels like it's like, I've never really made music, like really.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's got to be one of those things where it's like, even before you crack open
yeah.
Pro Tools or Logic or yeah, whatever. Yeah. You kind of have to already know what you're going to go into
yeah,
with
definitely.
It, you yeah. know, as opposed to maybe where it's like you can just sort of feel other things out, you mm-hmm. know, like when you're like in the studio or whatever. This, it's got to feel like we're going to take this part. We're going to wrap it around this part. We're yeah. going to do some, you know, synth stuff here. We're going to do some chords here.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's almost like it's got to be like, all right, we got to know exactly what we're doing when we open that computer
yeah.
up, you know,
which I think is a huge part of this genre, too. Well, like the Windows 96,
yeah.
for example, that was probably just like a creative, but these albums probably inspired that, but like didn't use any vocals.
Sure.
And like they probably just came up with these rhythms and beats on their own time.
Sure.
And just like experimented with stuff. Whereas like this, you have the original song first, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to know where you're going to chop it up and what you're going to, like how the beat you're going to make out of this sample.
Right.
You know? So I definitely think a lot of, like, this album specifically and Chuck Person's was well thought out prior to making
totally.
The music. Yeah.
Have you actually listened to any of Onatrix Point Never's, like, now music, like what he's doing now?
I don't think so.
He did a song, and now I cannot remember the name of the song, but the Safdie Brothers did a music video for it.
Yeah, actually, wait, it's not the...
It's like the old school, like, TV one.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that.
Okay. I'll send that to you.
He scored Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems and Good Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like how he like
yeah.
somewhat like, at least in like the film world, like at least how, that's how I found out about
him.
Oh,
that's interesting.
I didn't know about him.
And this guy started the Vaporwave.
And he fucking started Vaporwave.
Yeah.
And he's dating, do you know who Dasha is?
No.
Okay. Well, he's dating Dasha.
Oh.
That's... out of conversation.
Can you imagine this guy goes around and be like, you know, I started Vaporwave. Like,
dude, that guy probably wants to never be associated with the fact that he started Vaporwave.
Maybe not. Maybe that's why he used that alter ego name.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I think actually it was? Mm. Probably so he didn't get like cease and desist.
Oh, yeah. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely that too.
Yeah. So he didn't get fucked. Because, dude, I remember I had a friend come to visit me my summer between my sophomore year and junior year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember... she was telling me how she's like, do you like Regular Show? And I'm like, I mean, no, not really. Okay, well. I was like, no, I guess I don't really watch it that much. And she was like, oh, I love it. It's great. And I was like, oh, like, how do you watch it on? And she's like, oh, I actually just like pirate it and stuff like online. I was like, oh, cool. You know, like whatever. Like I didn't even like give it a second thought. I was like, whatever. Okay. And then it was like kind of a terrible like visit or whatever. And I was, she just, it was really not a good time. But when she left, like a day later, I get a letter in the mail from AT&T, and it was a cease and desist saying that like we found pirated like Regular Show episodes through your IP address.
Oh my god!
Basically, so you need to stop pirating.
Wait, to your address?
Because she was like watching a pirate. She must have pirated it
at your house,
at my apartment.
Oh my god!
And I sent her a photo of the thing.
Yeah.
And said, hey, did you do this?
Yeah.
Not in an accusatory way,
yeah.
just in a, is this you who did this?
Yeah.
I knew it was.
Yeah.
Like it was, I was lawyering the shit out of her.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I know you did this, but like, did you do this? And she said, no, I don't know how that would have happened. And I just said, all right, have a good flight back. We just haven't talked ever since.
Wow.
So that was cool.
I actually got in trouble too.
Did you?
Pirating. Yeah.
Oh shit.
It was when
someone SWAT you?
No. That would be funny.
That'd be awesome.
I was in my freshman year of college in San Francisco, I was using the dorm's Wi-Fi to... Remember that app, Popcorn Time?
Yes.
I was using a similar app to that. And I watched Star Trek Beyond, one of the newer movies.
Yeah.
And like a day later, my Wi-Fi stopped working.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what the hell's going on? And so I called like the school's tech support. And they were like, yeah, we banned your Wi-Fi because we found that you were watching something illegally. And I was like,
that's crazy.
They're like, yeah, Star Trek Beyond was illegally pirated from your IP address. And I'm like,
wow. They DDoSed you.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I was like, how do I fix this? Like, and they were like, it was just you. And I was like, yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was.
And so they were like, all right, well, you're going to have to go to the dean's office and then we'll get this revoked. And I was like,
that's insane.
I was like, okay. So I went to the dean's office and they're like, yeah, just don't do that again. And then sign this waiver saying you won't do it again. And I was like, okay.
Did you go back and immediately start pirating shit?
I downloaded a VPN.
Let's go, my man. Yeah. VPNs are the move.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to do that. I don't have a VPN currently, but I think I had friends in the dorms.
Who had VPNs?
Yeah, actually it was the friend who showed me what a VPN in the first place was.
Yeah.
Sound designer. So,
oh, look at that.
Yeah, a lot of sound designer guys out there love VPNs. That's what I'll say. Is there anything else worth mentioning about Macintosh Plus, Floral Shop, any of the albums we talked about, or Vaporwave? Any last thoughts on Vaporwave before we wrap this guy up?
I'd say definitely check it out. Start from the beginning for sure.
Start with Echo Jams?
Yes. Start with Echo Jams. You may not like it, but then do Floral Shop, and then Floral Shop will probably give you a better picture of what
sure.
the genre is. And there are a bunch of memes. You can dive into the meme realm if you want to do that. I didn't do that.
Sure.
There was like one video that I saw. It's called like Dolphin Wave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like two dolphins, CGI dolphins, dancing to Floral Lisa Frank 420.
Jesus.
It's pretty funny.
Dude, well, it's crazy that like Echo Jams is like the Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah.
That's like what that is.
Yeah. Well, that, because it was based off of that Game Boy game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Echo the Dolphin or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's Chuck Persons, not a real guy.
Yeah.
Echo Jams, Dolphin fucking video game, volume one.
Yeah.
We never got a volume two.
No.
Or did we get a volume two?
I don't think we did.
Yeah, we're never getting a volume two shit. No. He's too busy working with Josh and Benny Sack to give us volume two. Yeah. Griffin.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the show.
Thank you, Noah.
thank you for being here.
Do you have any last thoughts on the genre?
Do I have any last thoughts?
Yeah.
It is not what you think it is.
Yeah.
It is. There is more than meets the eye with it, especially if you only have known about it as a joke before.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the like true like OG shit, I think, a little bit more because I'm not a huge electronic music guy to begin with.
Yeah.
I actually almost asked you for Noe's question. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know your take on 100 Gex.
Oh,
do you have thoughts on 100 Gex?
I don't really like 100 Gex.
You don't like 100 Gex?
No.
I kind of like them, to be honest with you.
It's a little too much for me.
But it's a different thing, too. It's hyper pop.
Yeah, it's hyper pop.
Hyper pop as a whole, I don't know if I'm like fully sold on, but I do enjoy 100 Gex.
Oh, interesting.
It is very unique, and I think why I like it is because it feels very playful and like purposefully like earnestly, unabashedly like fun, you know, like, although yes, they're taking it seriously,
yeah,
but they're also like, this is fun,
yeah,
this is not Beethoven's Fifth or whatever, you know, this is like fun, and I think I respect the fact that they're just so openly like trying to make fun music. Some of it's crazy.
Yeah,
but I do enjoy it at the end of the day. So I was just curious.
I'll give it a listen.
You don't have to give it a listen. But I was just curious if that was like, if that's like too far in one direction for you.
It's a little too far for me.
Fair.
But yeah, I mean, I've always been a huge fan of electronic music.
Sure.
Too, so, especially from like indie game soundtracks.
Sure.
Because that's how I got into the genre. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Griffin, this is the part of the show that you came to do. This is the plug section. So if there's any plugs that you want to get off before we get this guy in the books.
Let's see. What am I working on right now? The Stars.
Let's go.
I'm working on The Stars. That'll come out soon.
The Stars is a web series, right?
Yeah, it's a web series. Emily Cyrier, Christian Hurley, Willimon, Star in The Stars.
Star in The Stars, created by the three of them as well, right?
Yeah, created by the three of them.
Hell, maybe you'll even see the host of the show in an episode.
Yeah.
Maybe you will. You will.
Oh, you are. Oh,
I'm
can I say that?
Maybe. Maybe I'll beep that out. Who knows? But anything else to plug, or is that it right now?
Well, that's what I'm working on now. Noah Jorgensen's project will be happening soon, but
hell yeah.
There's that.
That's in the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Swag. Yeah. Swag.
Swag. Check out my Instagram. I'm kidding.
Griff Fish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're, that's going in the fucking show description. You can follow this show on Twitter and Instagram. You follow us on Twitter at MyFavePod. Follow us on Instagram at MyFavorite_podcast. Follow me on Twitter, Noah Marger, at Noah Marger. You can follow me on Instagram at Noah.Marger. You can listen to my other show, My Favorite, or no, that's this show. You can follow my, listen to my other show. It's On the List with Noah and Mason. I don't 100% know what we're going to be talking about on that episode, because this episode that you're recording right now, not coming out next week, but coming out the week after. Uh-huh. So I don't 100% know what we'll be talking about on that show at that time. But give us a listen. We've been doing that damn shit for over 2 years. Give us a fucking break. Give us a chance. Come on. And you can watch Everything Now Show on Twitch, twitch.tv/Everything Now Show. It is an interactive live stream improv show done out of somebody's living room. I am now a supporting cast member on that, so I will be making monthly appearances, sometimes more than once a month appearances on that, doing some funny, funny improv for the Twitch world to look at. Genuinely, though, it's a very cool thing that those guys do over there. It is very awesome to do that show whenever I am given the privilege of doing that. So check it out, even when I'm not on it. Throw those guys some bucks. Very fun. So I'm on there sometimes. That's it. All right. That's all I got for plugs.
Listen to Vaporwave.
Listen to Vaporwave. Bye.
Bye.